Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Nancy, I just think you do a phenomenal job. I mean, you really are really listening to what I'm saying, and you're really finding the connections and kind of weaving everything together to really have a more powerful message for your audience. And I'll be honest, you actually helped me learn about myself through this as well. So no, it was a very powerful conversation with you. Thank you.
Well, welcome to We Mentor Mondays. Today's sponsor is Priscilla Vang. She owns a payroll vault franchise in St. Paul, Minnesota, and is our sponsor for today's mentoring conversation. Priscilla discovered through helping clients find tax solutions that they need a payroll service that they can count on. She's taken her client-focused skills, accountancy degree, and technology-driven software tools to help business owners redefine how they do payroll. This saves time and money. Priscilla is passionate and dedicated to building trust over the long term with small business owners. With Priscilla, providing you with the best payroll service possible is what directs her life. You can call 1-651-783-2509 or just click on the homepage of wementor.com. You will see a button to directly connect you with Payroll Vault and Priscilla. So now on to today's mentoring conversation. Mike Cabea, my sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother, he and I did the trek to Shatec, Wisconsin. It's a manufacturing center for Core Products International, Inc., and we're delighted here to meet with Philip Madsen, the president.
Welcome
to the program.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
For some reason, I feel like I need to shake
your hand. Well, shake hands. There you go.
Okay. Well, like I do with everybody, I ask how they're feeling. So, how are you feeling today?
I feel terrific. How do you feel today?
I'm really excited to be here. It's always a little nerve-wracking when you're doing a trip, a road trip, and you're not sure. You can see, you know, on Google Maps, you know, how far it's going to be. But once you hit the road, you don't know exactly how long it's going to take you to get here. So I always feel really relaxed when I'm at the place and the guest is in front of me, all the equipment's set up, and we're ready to go.
Well, there you go. Well, you've made it all the way into the heartland of America when you come out of the Twin Cities and into Shatec. So this is this community is an agricultural-based community, but we're located on the shores of a very large lake, Lake Shatec. And Lake Shatec is a vacation hotspot for a lot of folks this time of year. So the little town of Shatec zooms from a population of about 2,500 to about 15,000 during the peak of the summer season. And there was many resorts here and a lot going on.
Yeah, excellent.
And so it's an awesome little town.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful drive out here. Very hilly, all the crops look really healthy. We've been getting enough rain.
And you know, for people listening, if they're ever out this way and they want to have a particularly exciting opportunity, Shatec features one of the best water ski shows in the United States.
Oh, really?
Well, they have quite an elaborate water ski show that people could come to Lake Shatec and watch the water ski show. They have a concession stand set up and bleachers and the whole bit. I mean, it's quite nice over by the Shatec Airport.
Oh, great. All right. And to give you an introduction or the audience an introduction, a little bit more about your background, Core Products International really combines therapy and comfort. So Phil founded Core Products, not Shatec.
No, I didn't find Shatec. Yeah, right. I stumbled into Shatec.
You stumbled into Shatec. Okay. Where he founded in 1988 Core Products International with the idea that therapeutic products should be comfortable to wear and easy to use. They are proud to manufacture products with quality and care in the United States and Canada. It all started when Core's founder, in front of me, Phil Madsen, had a sore neck. Upon learning that his discomfort stemmed from an improper sleeping position, Phil worked with his chiropractor to develop a new kind of spinal support pillow. Since the successful launch of their first pillow, product in 1988, Core has developed or acquired several other pillows that are widely recognized as best in class for cervical support and comfort. These top-selling products include their Tri-Core and Therapeutica sleeping pillows. So over the years, Core has expanded well beyond pillows to offer innovative orthopedic supports and braces, hot and cold therapy products, OTC electrotherapy units, massage products, and more. These products are engineered and designed to exceed the needs of people who are suffering from pain and discomfort. In fact, their purpose and passion is to make your life more comfortable. At Core, they also take pride in making products easy to market and sell. They offer distributors and retailers a full suite of customizable sales tools, including retail-ready packaging, point-of-purchase display aids, customized literature, electronic marketing tools, educational videos, and much more. And at what age did you start kind of tinkering with some things?
Tinkering with some things
like
means...
It seems like, so you've patented a number of different products.
Now, let me elaborate on the story you started with.
Yes, please.
So I'll just make it easy for you so you're not having to answer, ask lots of questions.
Okay, good.
So what happened was I was in college, and, you know, I was really good at fraternity. I was incredibly good at fraternity. Not so good at the other parts of college, but really good at fraternity. And so one of my fraternity brothers, his father was the senior driver for an Allied Van Lines agent in Minneapolis called Burger Transfer. And so there were several of us that bought trucks, and we hit the road, and we'd drive our trucks and haul furniture 6 months out of the year. And I covered the entire country in my tractor trailer. Well, along the way, moving furniture in and out of people's houses, I hurt my back and neck. So I started seeing a chiropractor. At some point, I got out of the truck and sold it and started looking for a sales job. And the chiropractor saw me walk in a suit and tie and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm looking for a sales job." And he said, "Well, I have an idea for a product." Well, knowing that I had been a lousy student, I thought I was better off with an opportunity than I was with a job. And so I embraced the opportunity, and we started a business together. That business ran about 7 years. I know that the audience here now is mostly entrepreneurs and people starting out. And back in the day, I used to listen to Zig Ziglar a lot, right?
Yeah, one me of the too. Things, yeah, my favorite salesperson.
Zig Ziglar from Yazoo City, Mississippi. And one of the things that Zig said is, you know, you need to develop an inspirational discontentment with the way things are. Well, my discontentment with the way things were in that first business was that the chiropractor was an alcoholic. And I was constantly having to deal with this guy's alcoholic personality traits. So I tried to buy him out, and it was two brothers that were both chiropractors and myself. We were all third partners in that first business. So anyway, in the process of trying to buy them out, they at the end, at the last moment, said, "Nope, you're fired." And so, well, I'll tell you what, getting fired from your own business will create an inspirational discontentment for the way things are. And so I went home and cried and worried and mourned about that from Thursday through Monday. And on Monday morning, I started over and started Core Products. Today, my ex-business partner that was the alcoholic has died from cirrhosis of the liver. The other business is out of business, and Core Products is recognized in worldwide in the chiropractic industry and throughout the United States and several other industries as a leader in orthopedic supports and soft goods. And we employ about 140 people in three locations. So we have a location in Osceola, Wisconsin, Chautauqua, Wisconsin, which is where we are today. This is our manufacturing center. And then we bought a competitor in Toronto, Canada, and that was Therapeutica. And so we still have an office in Canada at the Therapeutica office as well.
Excellent. Well, that's quite a journey. So you didn't think that you would sue the chiropractors. You just left the business and started a new business.
Well, I knew that he didn't have any relationships with the customers.
Oh, I
and
see.
So life's about relationships, right? And
yeah.
So he wanted my job because it looked like it was more fun what I was doing than what he was doing, treating patients. And it was a sad story because his clinical assistants would go in behind him and have to spray the room with a deodorant because they were afraid people would smell the alcohol on his breath when he came and went from the room, and he was drinking at crack of dawn in the morning, right?
Oh.
And so... he didn't have relationships, and he wasn't going to build those relationships. And so I just went out and started over and built a new product line and went after it.
And it's been very, very successful, like you said.
So I think the real key there for anybody that's starting a business today is if you look at what's aggravating you the most, somewhere in there is a seed to a new business.
That's right. Yeah,
a solution. And it amazes me the number of other business owners that I've met who started their business with some kind of inspirational scenario that was actually a very negative scenario in their mind at the time.
Yeah.
And it's not always the guy that got the MBA and wrote a real nice business plan and got started. It's much more often the people that were frustrated because they knew they could do this better or some other scenario and they kind of
invented it.
They created it, you're right.
Yeah. So you've got 16 patents.
Well, you got a lot of patents.
Yeah. So what has been the process for you? Like, how did you get your first patent? Or tell us a little bit more about, like, how you launched your business, your second business, mm-hmm. and you went on it on your own. Mm-hmm. Did you need to get outside funding, or how did you?
I did get a little outside funding. So I had pulled together, I was in the process of trying to buy my partners out. And so I had put together some funding. I'd borrowed some family money. I'd borrowed $40,000 from my dad, and I had some cash in the bank and so forth. And so when I started with that little bit of seed money.
Okay.
And I also was able to leverage a relationship with a CPA that had worked with me previously. In fact, when I walked away from the business, he left also as their outside consultant, and he began coaching me. And I had a relationship with a banker that helped me a little bit with some seed money, and we just bootstrapped it.
Okay.
You know, we just didn't take paychecks, things like that.
Right.
Yeah. And in fact, today I still have, and you'll meet her later on today, I still have my first employee is still with me today, and her name's Tammy Frank, and she's still with us today, and she was one of the ones that used to stick her paycheck in the drawer and wait 2-3 weeks to cash it when we were first getting together, you know.
Yeah, that's how you cash flowed it.
That's right. And I would get put out with her that she wouldn't cash her check, but she knew I wasn't cashing my check, and it all worked out.
Yeah, right. And at the time then, you had how many products did you have?
Well, I don't know. When I launched, I probably started with a couple of dozen products, and then there was one item in the market that there was this orthopedic pillow, which today is our Tricore pillow.
Yeah.
There was one slightly similar product that was only sold by a captured group of salespeople that worked for one entity. And I was working with all the independent distributors and dealers, and they all wanted something to compete with that item. And so we developed the Tricore pillow, which was really the first fiber-filled orthopedic pillow that was made to provide neck support. When you're sleeping on your back, it supports your neck and cradles your head so that it encourages the normal curve of the neck, which we call the cervical curve. And as you roll over onto your side, you get a much fuller side sleeping area because you need more loft when you're on your side and something under your neck. So this pillow is designed to do that. And we took that product to market, and that was the key to our early success, is that product was very much in demand and wanted by the independent dealers and distributors in the marketplace. At that time, we only sold to the distributors, who sold to the dealer, and a dealer would be either a store or a professional, a chiropractor or some other kind of professional we'd consider a dealer. And a dealer is anybody that therefore then sells to the consumer. So back in the day, we sold primarily through and to the distributor, but we advertised and pulled through the dealer.
Because this was before the internet.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. Well, Al Gore hadn't invented it yet.
All right. His claim to fame.
Exactly. We don't know what Al was doing at the time.
Yes, right. I know, that was the funniest statement ever. So how did your business start shifting then? Where's your initial location where you started? Is it here, Chautauqua?
No, Venice Heights, right next to White Bear Lake in Minneapolis area.
Okay.
So we started in a suburb of Minneapolis, and we started with a little 5,000 square foot bay in an industrial building that I rented. And then we needed more space, so we knocked a hole in the wall and took the next bay, which was then 10,000. Then we knocked a hole in the wall and took the next bay, so that gave us 15,000. And about then, my banker friend, who was a very good coach for me. In fact, for any of the small business people listening to this, if you find a really good banker, that's a very inexpensive coach. You don't pay a banker by the hour for his advice. You pay your lawyer and your accountant by the hour. The banker's happy to give you free advice all the time. And this guy was an incredible coach for me. And he he helped me figure out that what I needed to do was relocate my business to Wisconsin because there was some enormous tax advantages by being in Wisconsin when you don't need foot traffic in and out of your facility.
Oh, sure. Okay, so then you took his advice and you started scoping out some areas?
Yeah, so we looked around in Wisconsin and we looked at the border towns because I didn't really want to relocate my home at the time. And the state tax at the time was identical. So it was about 7% to 7% state tax in each case. But the workman's comp, the unemployment, and several other advantages happened. And, of course, the property cost was substantially less in the small towns.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm a big, big fan of working in the small towns. I think the best workforce in the entire United States is in the small towns in the Midwest.
Yeah. I agree. I grew up in a small town, Parker's Prairie.
There you go.
Yeah. Alexandria.
Well, the best workforce in the world is in the small towns in the Midwest. They're highly educated. They're very motivated. They understand quality. They understand they're very easy to communicate with, and they want to be part of something that's significant.
Yeah.
So in Chautauqua here, this is a little town's 2,500 people, and we are probably the second largest employer in town. That's assuming that the folks across the street have a few more employees than I have, right? It's fun to be a big fish in a small pond when you're in a small town. It works nicely.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you also have to be very aware of your culture in a small town, because if you create a negative culture in a small town, it destroys you quickly, right? So you have to build a positive work culture. Otherwise, you won't have any employees.
Sure.
Everybody knows everything in a small town.
Right? That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you've got a reputation of treating people well.
Yes.
And working well with people.
Absolutely. It's a conscious choice within our mission statement to create a best place to work mentality. Yeah.
Very cool. So what year did you move to Chautauqua?
Well, so then what happened is we left this place in Venice Heights and we built an office in Osceola, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And so I don't remember what year. I'm not very good at the years and it doesn't matter. But anyway, it was several years later we built the office in Osceola, and then we did our manufacturing, distribution, and everything out of there. At some point, several years later, there was a manufacturer here in Chautauqua that was a subcontract manufacturer that we were using to make some products for us. And they had two major clients. And one of those two major clients walked away in a rather nasty way. He took all his production to China, and then he told the owners that he was leaving, like, today, right? And so they came tumbling down. And through a sequence of events, I ended up owning the facility.
Okay.
And it was in a beat-up old building over in the center of the little town. And then several years later, we built the facility that we're sitting in today.
Okay.
And so they had a lot of products and styles and things that we needed. And I needed the production capacity because we were growing nicely. So this was one of our first acquisitions when I bought this company that was going bankrupt here in Chautauqua.
Okay. So you've kind of resurrected the giving people opportunities to work by resurrecting a different company.
Yeah. Yeah. And the small towns offer lots of benefits. So if you have people that are learning to do manufacturing and they don't need foot traffic, there's huge benefits in the small towns. For example, when you build a building, we're in a 43,000 square foot building here in Chautauqua, and you pay like zero for the land.
Yeah.
You know, because they want the jobs, and so they will give you the land in the industrial park if you'll promise to build a facility and employ so many people.
Oh, I see. And the town worked with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You get great benefits by being in the small towns. And then Wisconsin also, today, didn't have when I moved here, but today it offers the manufacturing and agricultural tax credit. And the manufacturing and agricultural tax credit for anybody doing manufacturing is very much worthwhile looking up online, because it'll reduce your state tax down to zero for the products that you produce a profit on that are manufactured in the state of Wisconsin. So for example, if somebody's doing $1 million in profit, as an example, and let's say $500,000 of that was the products that they manufactured, and a quarter of that was the salaries of somebody and their spouse, and a quarter of it was the dollars that they got from products that they distributed. Well, half of that $1 million in profit would be taxed at zero. The other half in Wisconsin would be taxed at roughly 7%. So you average that out, you got a 3.5% net state tax.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, you have a 10% state tax. So you can save huge money coming to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Enormous money.
Yeah. So anyone thinking about opening a manufacturing company, look around.
Or expanding it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and we'll be heading to Osceola next, but we're going to do some videotaping so the audience can kind of get an idea of your facility and meet some of the people work so closely with you.
Yep, so here in Chautauqua, we do, so back in the day, we did all of our manufacturing and everything in Osceola after we moved it out of Minnesota, and then we built this. Slowly over time, most of our manufacturing is here now. And then Osceola is our main office. It's our marketing, sales, accounting, all the HR function. Everything's based over there. And then our pick, pack, and ship location and customer service are there. And so then we have some of our fiber-filled pillows are still manufactured in Osceola. And then everything else is manufactured here in Chautauqua. And so we manufacture the pillows, all kinds of braces. I mean, you can literally start at the neck and work all the way down through the shoulder, the elbow, the wrist, the ankle, the knee. What do we make products for everything? We have a variety of brands that we own. So we own Core Products, which is known for our pillows. We own Sweeto, which is a very recognized and very senior brand in the lower extremity brace category. Mm-hmm. We own the Therapeutica pillow, which was one of our competitors. We own the Genie Rub massager, and we own a couple of TENS devices that are very nice. And so we have a nice variety, and what we do is we mail a catalog, and you'll see our hot and cold pack production here, as well as several other things. So I think you'll enjoy that. You can see a lot of our selection on coreproducts.com, and then in addition to that, under our label corecontract.com, we do contract manufacturing. Now we're very fussy about who we take on as a contract manufacturing client, and their product line needs to fit into the kind of manufacturing we're doing, and we're not a job shop, so we won't make one of this and one of that. But if somebody wants true production quantity, for example, I have one customer that is in the veterinary business, and we make the patient gown or the surgery gowns that that the doctor would wear doing surgery in that environment. I make for the government, I make covers for tanks and all kinds of military equipment.
Oh.
And so about 25% of our business today is contract manufacturing.
Okay.
About of our regular business, our branded business, if you will, about half of what we sell today ultimately is sold by somebody on the internet, which is an enormous difference from where we were just a few years ago.
Wow.
And so if we sell to a distributor, he might sell to a reseller who ultimately sells the product online. Whereas when we started, we sold to a distributor who sold to a dealer who handed a product to a patient. And so then today we sell not only to the distributor, to the various kinds of dealers, but we also sell to the consumer through our own website as well as our other online presences, which are very substantial.
And you also have products in like Walmart and Amazon.
Yeah, Walmart.com, Amazon, and we have a nice selection of home healthcare dealers and specialty dealers that might have our product in a brick and mortar location.
Okay.
We're on a wide variety of websites.
Okay. And that must have really built up after the year 2000.
Yeah, right after Al Gore invented the internet, right?
Right. So how did your sales and marketing change during that time frame?
Well, our entire focus was to sell through this distribution method. And so what we would do is we would advertise to the professionals that we were most interested in selling to, and we'd provide tools for them to dispense those products to their patients. And then those tools would create a pull-through, right?
Yeah.
So if you had a little display or had these catalogs, so that we make this catalog that's in front of us here in a variety of versions. One is for the professional when it has the price the professional would pay, and the other is for the consumer, and it only has consumer prices. So we build our consumer catalog, and we circulate those so the professionals can call us and get a number of these, and they can put their name on the back and all that. Or we provide a variety of in-office tools and so forth. And so we advertised and created the tools necessary to pull the product through the doctor's office or through the physical therapist's office or whatever the case may be, so that they could dispense the products to their patients.
Yeah.
And over a period of time, that started to involve then more of the home healthcare dealer crowd, which is a brick and mortar store where the doctor sends you there.
Yeah.
So the chiropractor and the private practice physical therapist will normally dispense the product right out of their office. A hospital-based physical therapy clinic or a dealer would be taking referrals from a physician or so whatever the healthcare professional is, and they will dispense it through some other method. But the professional won't hand it to you in those environments. So then you might go to a dealer, like if you were going to go and buy a wheelchair or get a hospital bed or something of that nature.
Yeah, you go through certain channels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we learned all those markets. And now that we are, and then, of course, as the internet came along, we built our own website, and our goal was to demonstrate our catalog. At the time, we were still mailing our master catalog, which was 40-something pages, and then we had our own website so that we could demonstrate our website as well. And then eventually we started selling on that website, and now today we don't have a master catalog anymore. Our master catalog is the website version of the catalog.
Yeah.
It's either coreproducts.com or corecontract.com if you're looking for contract help. And then we mail ticklers like the ones that are in front of us. These are small 16-page, half-page size, 16-page color flyers. And these have our most popular widgets in them. And we mail these to the professionals and to our dealers that are on our list as well. So like right here on this page, you can see some of the tools. So see these little brochure holders that could go in a professional's office. So
we still do all
that kind of stuff, as well as here's your price plus the suggested retail price for the professional. And then our distributor partners can pass this out as well, because the distributor partner would buy at a discount enough to be able to sell to a dealer, right?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So I don't use the word dealer and distributor interchangeably. A distributor sells to a dealer sells to the consumer.
Great. Got it. Yeah. So you've built up your different chains,
mm-hmm.
and you bolstered up all the products within and how you're selling and the price points. And then you added the core contract side of your business so that you could help other those who are manufacturing products. You can help them be able to produce their products at a really mm-hmm. good rate without having an entire facility.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now we've got about a dozen customers that we do contract work for.
And then how did you eventually make your way to Toronto?
I had a competitor in Toronto, the Therapeutica Pillow. It had been invented by a fellow and he passed away.
Oh.
And so then I heard, in fact, I've done a couple of deals the same way. And then I heard through the grapevine, through some of my distribution partners, that so-and-so is getting to be difficult to work with. And boy, ever since Ed died, so-and-so's been difficult to work with,
oh.
and so forth and so on. So then I picked up the phone and I called the lady and said, "I'm here's who I am." Of course, she knows me because I'm a big competitor, right?
Yeah.
And I talked to her and I said, "I'm interested in, if you ever wish to sell your business, I'm interested." So several phone calls, and a year later, I ended up closing and buying that business.
Okay.
And same thing happened with Sweeto. The guys that owned it were wanting to get out, and I found out that they were wanting to get out, and so we bought that brand. So today, all of our lower extremity stuff is the Sweeto brand, and we have competitive pillow categories. And
so what happened to the location then that these were produced at?
Those were produced in North Branch, Minnesota, which was only about 20 miles from Osceola. And through a variety of events, that facility, we wanted to keep that, but the lady that was the landlord was not happy about the deal, so she wanted to get out of the building and whatever. And it was an emotional event for her because her husband had passed and she still owned the building and he was the original owner and all these kinds of things that happened. Anyway, it's manufactured here today in Chautauqua is what happened.
Okay. All right.
But that wasn't the way we envisioned it when we did it. It was just the way that it
turned out.
It was a little bit out of our control, and we ended up having to make a lemonade out of that lemon. So
yeah, right.
Today it's all manufactured here, and we have just introduced new packaging for that product, which is really attractive. And that buy there is a little over a year old.
Okay. Oh.
So
your latest.
Yeah, that's our most current one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And when you're traveling, are you traveling quite a bit now? Do you have your pilot's license?
I do. I travel. Yeah. I have my father was a very highly decorated military pilot.
Okay.
And so I was, when I was a kid, every toy I had was an airplane. And,
okay.
And I was destined to become a private pilot. And I dreamed about being a military pilot as he had been when I was younger. And,
yeah.
And that just never came to be. And so anyway, at some point, I was actually in my office in Osceola shortly after we had moved there. And one of my coworkers commented that her husband had chartered, had been in a small plane that they had chartered from a local airport, and he'd gone on some sales call in a four-place airplane. And so I called our airport, and I asked if they did that sort of thing. And the young man that answered the phone, his name was Matt,
okay.
And he answered the phone, and he said, well, he said, you know, we don't have a certificate that allows us to do charter work. He said, and I was asking about going to Milwaukee. And he said, but we could give you a lesson to Milwaukee. And I said, so what you're telling me is I could get in the plane with an instructor. I fly in the left seat as the pilot, take a lesson all the way to Milwaukee. The instructor sits on the ground while I have my appointment for a couple, 3 or 4 hours, and then we fly back from Milwaukee? Yes, sir, we could do that. I said, don't even move. And I ran down the stairs, got in my car, and 4 minutes later, I was at the airport because it's literally next door, across a mile or two away.
Yeah.
And I walked in and said, let's go through that again. And I started taking lessons that day.
Oh, wow.
It was just a dream come true.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you are definitely skilled at taking a look at opportunities that come your way and really exploring them.
Yeah,
in a way. Yeah, that's, you know, can we do this? Can we not? Is this doable? And let's go.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the greatest opportunity that came my way is one day I was a member of Vistage.
Yes.
Vistage is a mentor group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was a member of Vistage, and I was talking to the chairman of our group, and I told him I needed some help in sales management. I wasn't happy with what I had going on in my sales department, and I could see I was getting to the point where I could no longer effectively be the sales manager. And he introduced me to Steve Wilcox from the Resultants for Business. And mm-hmm. Steve, over a period of time, introduced us to the concept of traction.
Yes.
And this book, Traction, is probably one of the best things that ever happened in my business, that it absolutely has shaped the way we operate our business.
Because along with purchasing the software, there's also a lot of training that they give you in concepts that you can build out to hold meetings and to reward people and keep track of their productivity in ways that are constructive, and you can kind of capture the ebb and flow of the business.
Yeah, it creates a structure for management.
Yeah.
So we're very good at having structures for manufacturing processes and being able to do a time study. And here's a bill of materials. Here's the time study. How much time goes into this widget? And therefore, here's your cost. And you can determine your selling price. And you can determine at any moment in time whether you're ahead or behind on your stuff.
Yeah.
The same processes for how to manage what goes on in your administrative side is far more obscure.
Yeah.
And Traction creates clarity for that. It starts out with an understanding of what is the visionary and what is the integrator. And so that divides the role of the traditional president of a company into two clearly defined roles.
Yeah.
Whereas a president and a vice president means they're a mirror image of each other. The visionary and integrator are two very well-defined roles. And if somebody's struggling at the top end of their business now and kind of at that growth curve, I would suggest if they do nothing else, buy Traction and read the definition of visionary and integrator, and you'll find out you don't have to be in charge of everything and you don't have to know everything. If you have the right person as the number two, it starts to get easier. Then you build out your organizational chart from that, which they call the accountability chart, not an organizational chart. Accountability chart's important because it flows with responsibility and accountability and how information flows through the business. That's very exciting. And then it creates an opportunity for you to have a annual, a quarterly, and a weekly meeting, and Traction outlines the structure for those meetings. What I found out, much to my surprise, was that everybody in the business wanted structure except for me, the entrepreneur.
Of course.
I like the complete lack of structure. And so I thought that was just wonderful. And I was the one most intimidated by the structure that was offered by Traction. Today, I'm the one that most embraces it because I understand what it's done for everybody else in the business.
Yeah.
The other thing that's very important with whether you use Traction, if you're in manufacturing, the book The Goal by Eli Goldratt. Another great book is Built to Sell.
Oh, Build to Sell, yeah.
And we'd have to look up the name of the fellow that wrote that one. And but oh, there's a there's book. A number of these books. Two Second Lean, I think, is another one. But the point is having a selection of textbooks that you use in your business as study guides, so that you build a team where everybody understands we're going to follow this section of rules and we're going to use this language and we're going to understand that this language equates to these kinds of processes. And that method of, now keep in mind, I majored in fraternity and was not very good at the whole college thing. And I'm sitting here telling you that having a textbook that you learn with and around your staff as it grows to really build some process in your administrative functions and sales functions is enormous and will make a huge difference.
Well, it sounds like you're a self-study, so you practical information that helps you build something.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of learning that makes sense to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so when you've got books that help you create something more or add a layer of depth to what you're doing to understand how to work more effectively with people or how to advance your own visionary ideas, seem like those are, they're inspiring to you, and so you gravitate toward them. And
that's right.
That's an engaged learner.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then in the book Built to Sell, as you mature in your business, it starts talking about how to build a repeatable process that creates sales, and you can define the process, and you start to work yourself out of a job so that at some point somebody can step into your shoes. But it doesn't mean that you have the book Built to Sell doesn't suggest that you necessarily need to sell the business to be reading and studying that book. It suggests that the healthiest business is one that could easily transition tomorrow. A business that's 100% dependent upon you if you're the owner of the business is dramatically harder to transition to somebody else.
Yeah. And you have to take some time to build that in, and that sounds like that book kind of gave you that structure.
Yes.
Or the way of thinking.
And then what I'm most proud of is that at the beginning of January, we sold our first batch of our business, and we sold it through an employee stock ownership program. And so our employees are now becoming owners of our business.
Oh, that's so empowering.
And so that is very empowering.
Yeah.
And it also is very liberating, because all of a sudden you can talk about all those kinds of thoughts with your employee group, right? So at your annual meetings or your quarterly meetings where you have larger groups, you can talk to them as owners and not feel selfish, right? So prior to that, when I'm talking to an employee, I'm like, well, I don't want to say that because that's only my perspective as an owner. Well, today I can say to you, well, Nancy, as an owner, of course, you'd like to accomplish this and this just, you know, for the benefit of everybody, right?
Right.
And you're a new owner, and so that's important. And
so you're treating them as more like a peer.
Right. So it's very important. And I learned actually that the whole concept of employee stock ownerships, or ESOPs, is more popular in the Midwest than it is in any other part of the United States.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's the Midwest mentality.
Okay. To own, work hard, acquire something, build something worthwhile?
I think the mentality exists within the owner groups. The people that are owners are more inclined to share what they've accomplished with their employee groups.
Oh, I see.
Whereas they tend to be not so minded on either coast.
Yeah.
Because there's a dramatic difference in the quantity of ESOPs in the Midwest than there are on either coast. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't have the majority of the population. The coasts have the majority of the population.
Right. Yeah. That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this has been a delightful conversation filled with just so many valuable nuggets for everybody. I should say that you and I met at the small emerging growth companies business that Peter Beaumont organization is running in the Twin Cities. And you had talked in depth about the Traction program and that you had been with it for 10 years and all the benefits that you've seen. And we witnessed the software and how it works and how you're able to work with people and empower your management staff to work more effectively together.
Yeah, and that group that Peter runs is a fantastic group. I mean, it's all focused on smaller businesses, and he brings in speakers, I think, once a month.
Yeah.
And I think there's no cost to be involved in it. So it's a great place to meet people like yourself, as well as Peter and many other other people that you could commiserate with in your journey to build a business, right?
That's right, exactly. A lot of support there.
There you go.
Well, good. Well, thank you for being here. I would like to have one more conversation with you before we videotape about kind of some of the support pieces that were put in place that you're a very curious learner, and you, as your business was growing and as these different opportunities came up, you got some special support along the way. And I was wondering if we talk with you about that in our next conversation.
Thank you. I love that.
Great. Okay. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. We'll see everybody next week and do something valuable with what gems in our conversation today.